This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
You're about 10 pounds lighter right now, and it's not from working out. It's not from dieting. Not that you haven't been doing those things, but you just got your hair clipped.
Chopped off a good half. I'd say 60% of it.
Wow.
It's a wrap. The look was out, bro. It was over. It needed to move on with that look. That look has been lingering in my life out of pure laziness until 2016, I think. Or no, 2017, Kristen and Jay came over. They were already dating. So whenever Kristen and Jay... One time I had a dinner party. I said, hey, I'll make everybody some steaks and shit, some nice food. You give me a good-ass haircut. I need to change it up. That was when it was all long.
Mm.
So that's when
Jay
I went to...
Jay McAfee's girlfriend, Kristen.
Fiancé. They're getting married.
Fiancé, that's right. She cut it for you. That was the last time, 2016.
Well, that was the last time I had any different kind of look, 17.
Wow.
So I was like, and all I do is pull it up, and all it does is fall out. Like, I don't do shit with it. Half the time it's under the hat. Who gives a fuck? You know,
it looks good. It looks clean. It reminds me of about the stage. Maybe your hair was at the first time I met you.
Yeah, 2009, 2010 me.
It wasn't quite as long on top then, but it was. Mm-hmm. You had the fade going on.
Yeah, clean fade. And you know what? Here's what's important is that tonight, Todd, tonight in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Helium Comedy Club, Todd McComas, Sean Latham, the Guns Blazing Podcast, stand up, 8 p.m., be there or fuck off.
Yeah, fuck right off. If you're right anywhere off. Near there within a reasonable driving distance and then you don't come to this show, then just fucking keep on driving.
Hey, drive until there's a wall, then you hit it.
Drive.
Just kidding.
All the way to the coast.
Keep
until
going.
You hit some sand.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it into four-wheel drive if you've got it. If not, just drive nice and slow so you don't get stuck. Mm-hmm. And keep going right into the ocean.
There you go.
Keep driving as far as you can get into the ocean and just drown.
And guess what? If for some reason your vehicle floats, we want you to go at a 45-degree angle into a large wave, and I want you to tip it over so your whole car sinks that way.
We're just kidding, but come to the show if you're around. Why not? It's gonna be a good ass time. We got a bunch of cornhole this weekend in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia.
All week,
come
bro.
On. I'm driving, so I'm gonna bring all the podcast gear up there. We gotta record episodes for next week because I'm gonna be in Gatlinburg. Vacationing with my lady and her family.
Oh shit, Todd, going to Gatlinburg, big romantic couple like style city right there. We went to Gatlinburg. Wow, Gatlinburg. They're in love. People who've been dating under 3 months don't go to Gatlinburg.
Mm-mm. No, this is a big deal with her family. I mean, come on,
damn,
big ass house. They got a big ass house. Everybody's staying there. Should be a lot of fun, but it's a busy time, man, because we get back from there like Thursday. You get here Thursday. We got 2 days to prep for the Patreon party that's happening Saturday in the backyard. I've been prepping for it. I moved all the rock out of the driveway.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. And that was still. Now, listen, I hustled the first half of these rocks Mm-hmm. Okay, I even got it started last time I was at Todd's house. I needed to get a workout in. And let's be honest, I would way rather look at a pile of rocks that will help my friend if I do some moving of them instead of go jack, be a fucking goofball, my fat self in a gym and lift a bunch of weights for nothing. Why not lift the weights that does something, and that's move rocks? And so I did that. I did a couple of barrels worth. That was a fucking lot of work. That's a good 40-minute workout.
It is a lot of work. I think I did.
But you did way more because there was
18 wheelbarrow loads was what was left.
Oh.
It was an all-day process, and I am sore as shit. Every muscle in my body. 18. There's muscles. I don't know if you know this enough. There's muscles in your eyelids.
Yeah.
And those are really sore right now. Every muscle I have. My tongue. Your tongue's a muscle. It hurts. Mm-hmm. My heart. Your heart's nothing but muscle. It hurts.
That's pounding with passion. That's why that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That's pounding with passion for life and rock.
I got edging.
18's a lot, bro. I remember when we did it, when we were flip flopping, we did a whole damn day. We did that shit. But because we had to get the rocks at the base of the fucking deck.
Yes.
And then I was like, well, I just started decorating one day. The landscape artist came out in me. Mm-hmm. And then you just went ham on it, and you went, okay, you know what? Because we had the more of the beach style look where like the water rinses up on the rocks before. I had it uneven. But you went full mode HOA level clearance. You locked it off with the black little thingy to separate landscape rock and grass and whatnot. And you loaded it up with the rocks.
It's probably a 3-4 inch layer thick all the way around that sumbitch with the edging to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. Now I got stepping stones in there so you can step across on these 2x2 just stones. To step off the gravel into the grass, off the grass onto the deck. It's loaded up. I put some mulch in the part of the beds in the back because we got her office shed coming soon. So I didn't want to mulch that part because we got to dig it out and level it out anyway.
Oh, what's happening? A new project going on back there?
Another shed. It's going to be a little shed town back there.
Well, you're going to have shed town. Now, can you imagine if you had like 5 or 6 of those different sheds doing different stuff?
That's what I want. I want like a, you know, those old Wild West towns,
like where a shed it's community,
just one little building after another around. Yeah.
So we're talking the same Amish style barn shed, another one.
Another shed that's fully insulated, drywalled, all that shit. It's going to have heating and cooling. It is going to be her outdoor office.
Oh, so Angie's got, she's locking in a shed on it.
Yeah, so now the he shed is the bar. The she shed is her office / stream studio.
I still think that you have to come up with different names just because the connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be an organic, fluid connection now if you just morph over the name that was created by a different person. That's an energy I don't think you want to keep.
Nope. Yep, you're right. We're going to name the bar.
And her, the other, you got to have the bar, and it could be something with the sheds, but I think he said she shed is out just because, you know, and also out of respect for all parties and both past and present and future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you owe it to yourself, Todd.
Yeah. And it needs a real bar name anyway.
Yeah.
Like it's a real bar.
And then we know we do have a thread full of good names people suggested. And I did say, oh, that's a good one. Ooh, that's a good one. We'd have to dig in there a little bit and find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
Shed Dancing was a popular one.
Yeah. Going back to Shed Dancing. I love that one, bro.
But I want something that can say like pub in it, or bar, something like that. Yeah. We'll keep hammering away at it. Guns Blazing Bar. I don't know.
I mean, it's something unique though. We'll have to circle back on that, but you know, I'm just pumped. We got a big weekend of ACL action. We know we had our meeting yesterday, our production meeting. And we're locked in. We're ready to get into, we're ready to get to Philly and see who's ready to take this fourth national of the year.
Mm.
Who do you got taking it down?
Man, I don't know. Something about this weekend screams Matt Guy for me.
Okay.
I mean, he's always, you know, he always goes really far. It's just this year, we haven't seen him take it all.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm feeling like he's going to make the finals. I don't know if he's going to win, but I feel like he's going to make the finals. Trey Birchfield, I think is he something about that dude too. Like the last national we watched, this guy, he got in a mode. He was wounded. He hurt his finger, and still was throwing bags like nobody that weekend. I mean, when he got hot, mm-hmm. it was like they call him the robot. You can't shake that dude. He's emotionless. But he got a little fired up a couple times. I don't know. I'm feeling like we might see Trey Burchfield and Matt Guy in the finals.
Well, here's what I think also. He's only 18. That's an 18-year-old kid, you know? So he's really just figuring out. Like, he's so good at something. It's like, do you even have time to figure out, you know, like who you almost are as a young man when you're tired? Like, he's that focused to be the number one player in the world or whatever right now.
I know.
And I mean, he's winning. He just won, I think, another fucking CBS shootout.
I mean, at 18, I was just too horny all the time to worry about what I wanted to do in life.
Yeah, because I remember you were in the Marines and they were like, McComas, quit fucking your bunk.
That's all I wanted to do.
That pillow has nothing to do with this.
They're like, what are your career goals, Marine? I'm like, the fuck this bunk, sir.
I like your honesty, sir. I like your honesty, son. But, you know, again, but that's what's so awesome. I mean, if you think about it, this guy, you know, the guy that hits the free throws nonstop, the mm-hmm. old man that hits like 10,000 free throws in a row.
Right.
What's going to happen is one of these professional cornerball players, and I'm assuming one of the younger ones because, you know, obviously now it used to be an old person's game. And then now we got the youngsters that are amazing, like 10-year-old kids and whatnot. This kid is only 18 and he's the number one player. That means in 20 years, bro, he might never miss the hole. He could be like that old man that shoots the free throws that never misses because it's a muscle memory thing. Whack, whack, whack. Just fucking hold airmail 5,000 straight. It could be done if the old man could do free throws.
Oh, yeah. He definitely could do it. He could get like 10,000 bags in a row in the hole. He could definitely. He's the person that could go in that kind of run.
And right now, the ACL record is like 37 on a televised event.
Mm-hmm.
But your backyard, me and you, people weren't there, but combined, we did 613.
Yeah.
People that are going to sit there and listening right now, they're like, that's bullshit. And you know what? There's a strong chance that they're right, but guess what? They're wrong.
Yeah, we actually hold the outdoor record. It just wasn't documented. We didn't have somebody there to, you know, to validate it, but it happened. I can tell you that. It might have happened.
I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else was there? You were.
That's all that matters to us.
You were there. I was there. Guess who else was there? Jesus Christ was there.
He was watching the whole time.
Yeah. And guess who gave us the skill set? Jesus Christ gave us that skill set. So do you think that we're going to take a gift from our Lord and Savior of that level and then with him in attendance, come and sit here on this podcast and act like we would lie about something that serious? Fuck out of here.
Guess what? When we were playing, and we were catching our groove and we were hitting like, we were like at 450 somewhere around there in a row. There were three sets of footprints up to that point.
There was three sets.
And then when we got to about 580, 590, mm-hmm. I looked down and there were only two sets of footprints.
Now, do you have what happened? Well, what's the explanation?
I think the explanation was that for that last stretch,
mm-hmm.
he wanted us to know that we were on our own for that. That he was there, but it was us doing it.
So you're saying that it was just you and I walking at that moment?
At the time, we thought, wow, we're playing with Jesus. Of course we've hit 450 in a row. And then he just kind of slid out. He was like, no, it was you the entire time.
And then he says, and now, because that was when things were getting shaky. But then I think from what we found out was at the end of the day, when things got shaky, he was carrying you, Todd. Those were his footprints, man.
Mm,
that's the fucking real story here, brother.
I was on his back.
Yeah. So why would we lie about that? Jesus was giving Todd a goddang piggyback. Right. I almost really messed that all up right there with that part.
His dad dang.
Dad dang.
His dad dang piggyback. Right. Yeah. To break the record.
So listen, don't please, guys. I know you're sitting there with a little bit of skeptic, you know, with a cake of battered in skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. When you take a bite, it's going to taste like truth.
It will.
All right? Don't let the frosting trick you.
Don't let it trick you. I was doing some serious Googling the other day on some serial killer shit, right?
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you know, I didn't want anybody to track my movements. I don't know if there's someone still connected with these serial killers that's out there monitoring IP traffic or not.
You got to be careful.
And then, you know, because I don't need someone that was connected with this whole serial killer network to pop up on my door in the middle of the night and try to Dexter me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used IP Vanish the entire time.
And guess who's safe and sound?
Me.
Todd, raise your hand. Raise your hand, Todd.
Right,
Todd, just so everybody knows, what is IP Vanish, Todd?
Well, IP Vanish is a virtual private network, Sean. Mm-hmm. VPN for short, if you like acronyms. A VPN is basically a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet.
And I'll tell you right now, Todd, you can use a VPN on not just a computer. That's where people, that's the big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's just for the computer. No, it's also for tablets. It's for your phone.
Yes.
Okay, you could use it on things like Fire Stick for streaming media. You can use a VPN because you know what? All your data is encrypted on the VPN. Okay.
Mm.
So what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, don't worry about it, you little sicko, you little piggy.
That's very, very important for you to bring up, Sean, because what you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours.
Exactly.
It's your business. And IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. You don't want to for people to know who you are at all times on the internet. Mm-hmm, and you definitely don't want to feel insecure, like you're not safe. And for listeners of this show, IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off. How much is that in dollars? Just $3.49 for the first month, $3.49 for your first month, or $31.49 for the entire year.
Jesus, that's what I call savings. I heard a knock at the door. I said, "Who is it?" And they said, "It's savings, my man." And that was
Welcome.
IP Vanish coming in hot with a 65% savings. Okay.
Welcome.
Plans, $3.49 a month, $31.49 for the year, which is that even cuts it down even more.
I mean, come on, guys. With an anonymous IP address, this means your personal IP address cannot be tracked by anyone on the web. No hacker, no serial killer, the Russians, none of these people will be able to track your activity or be able to bring themselves to your door. Mm. Circumvent any online censorship. That's, I hate that the most. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 plus locations. Good luck trying to break that. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, with IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted so no one can snoop on what you're doing. Sit there at Starbucks and feel confident that no one's going to know who you are and where you're having your coffee. And you get 24/7 support. You can email them, chat with them. You can even call them on the phone. They're there to help, Sean.
Oh. You guys got the hookup. I'm telling you, man. All you got to do, IPVanish.com/gunsblazin'. GUNSBLAZIN. Get the hookup. Your welks ahead of time. Your welks for letting you just have your privacy. It's important to us.
It is. This is the closest you're ever going to be to becoming invisible. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 a year. And this is the time to sign up. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IP Vanish, it's the best of the best. It's even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Who else has that? Who else can say that?
6,000 reviews. That's no fucking joke, dude.
Oh, come on, guys. Be invisible.
I'm on VIP Vanish right now. People don't even know I was looking to get a haircut.
Mm.
I was researching shit. People didn't know that.
No one knows where we're broadcasting from right now. Mm.
This guy even gave me a fade in my beard.
Look at that.
Look at that. They faded my beard up. Let's go.
Dang. I can't tell where the beard starts and where it stops.
All right, Todd. So we're going back indoors. Okay. You slaughtered me. 10-plus win. You had a 10-plus game margin win over the weekend on me on the outdoor in your home court advantage, outdoor. It was, you know, we had those Indiana conditions that you've thrived on for decades in this sport.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving back indoors where I have smoked you. Not as bad as you smoked me, but I at least had a 5 games on you most weekends we've gone indoors.
Absolutely. No wind. No, nothing to throw off a perfect toss, mm-hmm. basically. It's true muscle memory at this point. So let's see if we go back to you dominating or if it's more evened out, or maybe yeah. I slide in and start dominating. We don't know. I have the new game changer bags.
You have the game changers, the steady 2.0s. By the way, I also have a new, I have myself a brand new set of my of Matt Morton steady 2.0s. Mm. These bags are like, they're like a Reynolds meets a game changer to me.
Oh,
if you know anything about Cornell bags, I love Reynolds bags, you know, BG, Surefires, big lucky guy. You know, and obviously game changers, you know, cornhole, all cornhole.com.
That's not too slick, not too grabby, just mm-hmm. perfectly in between. That's my perfect bag.
Yes. Yes, it's kind of like how I sit down in a beach chair is how these things land.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's plop, nice, a nice plop.
I got laundry going right now. When we finish recording this podcast, I'm going to spend about 2 hours packing up gear, loading up the truck, and then I'm driving 10 hours to the great state of Pennsylvania.
Yes, you are. And I'm only like an hour away from there. That's about, so you're almost to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't going to be going to Gatlinburg to go fucking shoot six shooters and kick it with Angie's homies with the big ass house, you'd mm-hmm. probably be here with us.
I would. I would just finish out the week there.
Jeff, our producer, will be coming out with his ladies and come here for, I think they're leaving Tuesday morning. They're going to come. We'll be here Saturday, Monday.
Mm.
They're going to go hang out somewhere upstate New York. I guess they have a rental car. And then I believe they come back Thursday and then we're driving there, bro.
Yeah. You guys are driving down for the Patreon party.
Yes, sir.
It's supposed to not rain. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked at, because we did look at the 30 day a week and a half ago. Have we looked at the 30 day? Have we updated the 30 day? Because now I think it's going to, it almost falls. We're close to it falling in within the week forecast now.
Friday, there's a 30% chance of rain. Okay. So tomorrow we'll get a more updated forecast on what that Saturday is going to be, July 10th.
Okay, but check this out. Now this might blow some minds. Okay, that's one of my favorite fucking that's one of my favorite Rodney Dangerfield jokes, bro. He goes, "Oh yeah, I dated a fucking so and so since she majored in psychiatry and something else. Yeah, she'll blow your mind for $50." Okay. Anyways, I saw on TikTok, and I'm not sure the exact truth of this, but it seemed pretty legit, so I'm running with it. A guy said that when the weather says that there's a 30% chance of rain, it doesn't mean that there's 3 out of 10 chances that it's going to rain. It means 30% of said city is going to see rain.
Oh, really?
That it's rain is coming, but just where and what part of the city is going to get caught slipping? That's the thing. 80% chance of rain, the whole fucking city is going to get tossed up, basically, except for anybody that lives out in like Shelbyville or something that day. You know what I mean?
Well, if anyone's really into prayer requests, you know, maybe just put in a little prayer that 5716 blah, 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 Ewing Street does not get it.
Where?
I like how I only blurred out the direction.
By the way, I am not this red normally. I don't know what it's the color of the lighting. I don't understand why I look like a fucking cherry sitting here, a cherry tomato. Looking for someone to bite down and get a little squirt in your mouth.
Nice. Hey, so, you know, there's another podcast that's going to be there. The Girls Throw 2. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Girls Throw 2?
Yes, yes.
We met them on the call. I wonder, do they play? I assume they play cornhole.
I think there's no way that they don't, or it's fraudulent.
Their whole podcast is about cornhole. Yeah. Then I assume we need to take those girls on.
Yeah, we do. We got to try to meet. Now, listen, do we have inter podcast rivalry? But now we have inter other podcast rivalries starting to pop with the ACL.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
if we get a thing going with them, we need maybe a 3 out of 5 series against them. Maybe we switch it up too. Maybe one of them's with me, one of them's with you, and get some good content out of it. But I'm excited to see what they're bringing to the table, because if we have the Guns Blazing podcast court, there's some good games to be had.
Which we will have.
They're clearance solid.
Yeah, I know. And there is clearance has been had.
Nice.
We will have our courts. We will be. We got to put that video up on the page so everybody can see of us stealing parts from all over the fucking event to make our own court.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We built a hell of a court, too, just out of shit that was laying around that we stole from other parts of the event.
I mean, some would want to go on a limb there and say we were a couple pieces of truss away from being a fucking broadcast court.
Uh-huh. We were. Mm-hmm. What if we end up getting as this develops, maybe we get our own trusses and we put up there with our own cameras and lights.
Well, that's what's going to be in your backyard.
Yeah.
And we could go live, bro, easily with a 4 or 5 camera stream, dude. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that so easy. I mean, listen, all we need is a couple of pieces of truss that make it look cool, you know, and then and some lights. We got lights between the two of us. We got enough lights, I think.
Dude, listen to this. Not to change the topic, but I've been watching the show Alone.
Okay.
A History Channel. This is a competition reality series where they drop, I don't know, like 10 competitors off. Usually it was traditionally in the Pacific Northwest, out in the middle of nowhere in the woods. But now I think it's in maybe Canada now. And they are, I mean, in it to where it gets Arctic conditions, right? And they drop them off, I don't know, weeks before winter hits, but then they have to prepare and build the right kind of shelters. I mean, they're building shelters.
Like, I think I've seen this. What's it called? Alive? Alone? Something?
Alone. It's called Alone. Yeah.
And they have to stay out there until the last person it comes right back, right?
Yeah. The last person they have to call to come get me on their sat phone gets $1 million. And they are living it, dude. I mean, it's primitive living. They have a bow and arrow, a lot of them, something to fish with. They can make gill nets to catch fish, to eat on whatever. And I just watched this one dude, maybe the baddest ass dude I've ever seen in my life.
And let me tell you, before you tell that how amazing this dude is, there are people out there that are so ready for this that they'll fucking be out there for 3 years. And then there's other people out there that think they're ready for it, right? Like, I remember... When I was a couple of years ago, I saw, but there's the skill level in outdoor living is very, you know, diverse.
Yeah. Well, here's my pick to win this guy. And here's why. He's either doing some fishing or checking his traps or whatever. And then all of a sudden he hears a noise and he looks up and it's a muskox, a giant, like 1,000-pound muskox. And they,
a muskox.
Kind of looks like a combination between a buffalo and a moose. And it's got those these big horns that come down and then curl up on the end on each side. And he sees this thing, and he only has one arrow with him. So he's about 30, 40 meters away. And these are primitive bow and arrows, too. These aren't like, you know, the fancy kind with the wheels and all that shit.
Holy fuck, this is a muskox?
A muskox. And he pulls back this primitive bow, shoots, hits it in the hind quarter, like right in the butt, right the hip, basically. And I'm like,
that's just
going to
make him mad.
It's just
going
to run off now, right? And he's like, oh, look at all that blood. He's like, this thing's going to bleed out. I must have hit an artery. I just got to follow it around. So he follows it around for like 5 hours. And it would lay down for a while. He would get close and it would get back up, but it was kind of wobbly and it would like start to charge him, but then it was like hurt. So it would turn around and try to get away and then it would lay down again. And finally he's like, it's going to get dark and you can't get caught in the dark out there. You'll get lost and you'll die. So he's like, I got to do something. He pulls out his knife and it's got like, I don't know, 8-inch blade, right? Mm-hmm. Just this knife. And I'm like, no way. He's going to fucking discharge this fucking muskox with a knife. Yeah, it's exactly what he did. He runs as fast as he can and then he stabs it and then he runs off as it tries to flip around and horn him. And then he runs off and he stands back. And he looks at it again And then he runs at it again. Ooh, he like Olays around it. Ooh, and he jabs it in the side with this knife. He throws off, does that like four times. And finally, the thing just falls over and dies. He stabbed a muskox to death.
Bro.
This is the most, the baddest ass dude on the planet.
Now this guy has fucking meat for 6 months.
It took
probably
him
a year for one man.
It took him 3 days. He's a mile and a half. This happens a mile and a half from his camp. And like in the mountains, like he's got to crawl through mountain terrain in order to get back to home. Right. So he carves this thing up and butchers it right there on the spot.
With his eight inch knife.
With his 8-inch knife.
I got to watch this.
And I think he might have had an axe too. Yeah, it's called Alone. So then he guts it because you got to get the guts out right away, all the organs, right? So yeah. It doesn't go bad. Mm-hmm. And then he loads up the organs, takes them on the first trip because he's going to eat the heart and the liver and the kidneys and all this stuff because he's surviving. He needs all those nutrients. Mm-hmm. Then over the next, and he would cover it up with its own hide and then a bunch of trees to hide it from animals. And there was a bear that kept circling. Every time he'd go back, he'd see the bear tracks, but the bear couldn't find it or didn't dig into it for some reason. For 3 days, he spent just hiking back and forth, a mile and a half each way, like, oh, I'm going to cut off a leg. And then he has to carry this big-ass leg for a mile and a half back. 3 days to get this entire animal back to his fucking shelter.
He's just carrying around flesh smell so the bears can just – he's leading right to his camp.
Yeah. He's the most incredible human being I've ever seen in my life.
And then what service?
He's just a survivalist.
Netflix.
I'm watching on Netflix right now. It's a History Channel show, so I don't know what season History Channel is on, but this is season 7 on Netflix. It's the latest one available on Netflix.
Okay,
you got to watch it, and we got to try to get this guy on the show because he's the most incredible human being I've ever seen. I mean, the fortitude to fucking take on a muskox with your knife and stab it to death and then spend 3 days getting all its parts back to your shelter.
While you hide it from a bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, bro.
So like the whole time he's walking up to go back to get the next body part to carry back, he's like got his bow out and he's like got to watch out for these black bears. And black bears,
did he make the bow or he got to bring, because they have to bring one thing, right, or something,
right? But they can bring a primitive bow, so it's just a string and a stick basically. Just like there's no sights on it, you can't lock the string back, nothing. I mean, and these people, their aim, they're shooting rabbits and squirrels with these fucking bows from like 40-50 yards away. It's incredible.
That's incredible. Dude, I have, when I use a combat crossbow in Warzone, it's the hardest thing ever. And right? That's a full on crossbow. Mm-hmm. I get to lock in. You know, I have a battle. There's a battle, bow and arrow, and still, that's no walk in the park, friends.
No, not
40,
at all.
50 yards with a bow, with an old school fucking bow, trying to win that millie, dude.
Well, there's a dude from Indianapolis that's in it.
Really?
He's still in it. He's gone a long way.
How far do you think you could get?
Probably a weekend.
You'd be like a nice short weekend.
Maybe a 3-day weekend.
Maybe post up Friday afternoon, get out of there by Sunday night.
I'm like, I'm getting pretty hungry. You guys can get me now. Like,
what if you somehow learn how to build an engine out of wooden sticks? Can you ride that engine into town? Can you ride your new fucking stick bike into town?
I think so. Like, you could, if you had the engineering capabilities to make like a pedal car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet. I've not seen anybody try that yet. A guy did carve a mandolin. He made a mandolin with his hatchet.
That's pretty good.
Out of a log.
But, you know, let's say there's a way to make electricity happen just with sticks and wood and branches and stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe one, like some kind of bug needs to be in there or something. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You fucking fire up your stick tree bike.
I'm going to catch like 10,000 lightning bugs, and I'm going to put them in a jar and make a lantern. Every night they would start lighting up their butts. I have a lantern.
Yeah.
Like a full lamp.
Now, how do you feed those buddies so that they don't die off? Cause as a kid, we used to poke the holes in the top of the mason jar, toss in some grass on a nice Ohio, September night at 10:30 when it finally gets dark. The goddamn bugs come flying, little lightning bugs. You're out in the yard and you're scooping them up, putting them in the mason jar. But they didn't last too long.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, you know, research heavily what they eat, you know, if there's a particular type of like bush or something they eat off of.
Yeah.
I'm going to research that, put that in there, and then sprinkle it with cocaine.
Oh, good.
So that they work harder and their butts will shine brighter.
I wonder how many more lumens and watts the lightning bug can pop off on some Colombian Bam Bam. A couple of nose beers. What can these things do?
Right.
What if they start to like come together? Like, you know, when people parachute and then halfway down, they start to lock arms.
Oh yeah.
What if they do that and they fly around in a circle and now it's like a legitimate lamp?
Oh, I like that.
Like they all hold hands. They're all coked out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe off a little bit of coke and honey. You know what I mean?
You could make like a little town. You would have so much light. You could just and put them on like little hang your jars like they're street lamps and line your whole fucking camp with them.
Yeah, and I feel like if we start to generate electricity this way, yes, do we need to have a cocaine laboratory in town? But is it cheaper to run than an electrical fucking plant? Yeah, I'm pretty certain it is, especially if we're making our own cocaine.
Oh,
we can grow our own coca leaves.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are ready to be butt naked with a mask on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who ain't ready to be butt naked right now? Cure a little blow. Come on.
What if we catch a bear and then train the bear, put it on a wheel? So we'll put what are they? Berries. We'll put a thing of berries out in front, tie it off into the wheel on the little treadmill thing. And then the bears is constantly walking, trying to get to the berries. And we use that to power electricity to the camp.
Also, side note, I'm not sure if people are aware of this, but the reason that the fruit is called a berry is because when it grew wild in the bears love to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So they called them berries, like berries, a snack for bears, and it stuck.
Right.
People did not know that, for the record.
They did not know that, but it's the favorite food of bears. That's where it came from.
That's why they call them berries. Bears love them.
Mm-hmm.
The people that didn't know how to talk yet, they just yelled noises at each other. When they first started talking, that's why the word berries came from.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I like where berries. You're going with the bear. You know, like, again, it's just make it more of a natural facility. If we have a bunch of light poles with lightning bugs in them, all coked out of their minds, just buzzing away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. That's called ingenuity. It's going green.
And I don't know why more of these people aren't like trying to make their own batteries, you know, like
whatever. Why don't they extract that light juice that comes off the back of them bugs? Why aren't we trying to cross pollinate this into some shit a little bit more useful than just things that float around, let little fucking 5-year-old, 7, 10-year-old kids grab and put in a mason jar with a little grass?
What if you cover your whole body in mashed up lightning bug butt juice and then you glow? You're just
the one arm, though. Maybe I'll start off with the one arm and then like let my neighborhood think that it's slowly happening to me.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like I got bit by a big lightning bug. But all we're doing is we're farming that and smashing them. Because when you smashed them, the stuff would still glow.
Mm.
The butt juice, the glow butt juice.
Yeah, it lasts for a long time.
The butt glow juice.
Hmm.
So I think that if you got 150, you know, let's say we got 600 to 900 of these. Let's just round it up to an even 1,626 bugs.
Right.
Okay, round it up to a nice easy number.
Mm-hmm.
And you smash them and get all the bug butt juice. The glow in the dark bug butt juice.
Yes.
And just start to really cover your whole arm. A nice fat layer.
What if you eat a bunch of lightning bugs?
What if you think your belly can glow?
What if you could eat enough lightning bugs that your butt glows and you can light up things with your own butt?
And maybe that's where the power of the growing the wing comes from.
Yeah.
So now we could fly and we glow. Boom. Mm.
Damn. Now we're getting somewhere.
Damn, that ass glowing. Look at that ass glowing.
Because you got to be able to live out there for 6, 8, 9 months to win.
Yeah. I think I stopped in like episode 5 or some shit. I think I'd stop paying Netflix at that point. And then I have it again, though. But and then I just remember some dude was out there for like fucking 6 months or 5 months, dude.
Yeah. Long time.
Just fishing and hunting and hanging out,
Jesus.
Bro. Smacking off to a past experience.
I wonder, they got to do that, right? they don't film it, obviously, but you've got, I mean, that's a long time to go without any kind of sexual activity.
Oh no, they're smacking off for sure. Yeah. How are you gonna go 2 weeks without smacking off? Come on.
I know. What are they? They can only bring so many items too. Are they? They're not bringing like lotion and shit.
Yeah. Well, so. You just have to fucking raw meat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you just use some of the animal fat from your cat.
Well, cure it. Liquefy cure it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cure it. Make a lotion. Break down the fatty acids, the tissues. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Let it age a little bit. What a treat that would be after fucking 6 months of smacking raw mitt.
Raw mitt with your
and then
mitt.
You get to, and then you move over and you fucking have some cured lotion that's legitimately lotion.
Yeah.
But I'd be nervous. What if you get something in the tip that's not supposed to belong in there on this fucking weird, you know, musket fucking rat or whatever, fat juice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it called again? It's called the butt musket? No, it's the musk ox.
The musk ox. Dude, he ate the heart. He boiled it.
Why aren't people calling the asshole the butt musket more, though, dude?
I don't know, but that's a great name.
It's a butt musket. Right out the old butt musket, dude. Get the fucking stick. Let's load her back up.
It's always loaded up and ready to fire. But boom. you only get one, and then you got to reload. It takes a while. It's just like a musket.
That's that's why I think it's a good one shot operation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Do I have more powder? Do I have the stick? Yes, I do. But do I have the motivation to load her back up? No, I don't. I'm a one shot guy a lot of times when it comes to my butt musket.
What if we were still like at the musket stage? What if we never advanced? What if we were more dumb than we really are as humans? Mm-hmm. And we were slower to advance because we went from musket to freaking fully automatic machine guns in no time.
Well, to 50 cows strapped on top of tanks.
I mean, in literally a 100 years, we went from musket to fucking 50 cal machine guns. I mean, Jesus, think how fast that happened.
How about the ones on the side of choppers? Like those fucking, the round, they just.
The miniguns?
Yeah, the Gatling, the fucking new school Gatling.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I'm pretty sure they got lasers that kill shit down too. So we've moved to G.I. Joe stage and we're just under 100 years.
But what if we were still at muskets and like you watch the campaign in Afghanistan and it was just dudes with muskets and then you just had bigger muskets attached to the side of helicopters. Like we were advanced enough to make helicopters, but we weren't advanced enough to improve the gun.
Just couldn't get past that, just couldn't get past those early, firearm technologies.
Right.
We knocked aviation out the park, mm-hmm. but now we got a fucking tank rolling around with a 12 foot musket, a barrel on top,
Boom. And then some guys got to get out and load the gunpowder in, pack it down, get it going again. Okay, go. Like 15 minutes later.
One of my favorite weapons from a movie was in Gladiator in that first fight when they go over there in Germania. And they're, they're out there and they're all lined up and the guy, their messenger comes back headless, and then all you see is their big ass warrior on the other side from Germania gets up on the fucking rock holding the guy's head. He goes, exactly what he says. And then he tosses the fucking skull. Right. And then that's when Maximus says, sometimes people need to learn when they've been conquered. And that's when they fucking start doing the art. But they have that big ball of fire that they light and they shoot it.
Yes.
And then it must be like a 40-foot ball of shit of just explosives. And then when it hits the trees, it just rains down fire and terror on everybody.
The old catapults. I miss the catapult days, man.
Me too. I mean,
that's when you really had to commit, Like, I'm going to... If you were a person assigned to that wall and you were standing on that wall and they start wheeling out that giant catapult and you like, but I have to stay here with my bow and arrow. That's my job.
Now
and here comes that giant fireball.
Yeah. Which again, the first guy ever, the ballsiest dude, probably one of the first stuntmen ever was the dude that decided to get into the catapult and be like, nah, go ahead and toss me. I'll hit the net. You know what I mean? And then that evolved into the cannon guy because guys get shot out of cannons.
Yes.
That's another fucking ballsy move that I just am so jealous that I wasn't ever to get to live that life of the guy getting shot out of a fucking cannon.
I wish like all this evolution and technology for warfare, just if it advanced quicker at some levels and slower at others. So you had weird combinations. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say they invented the parachute back in those days, like the days of Troy mm-hmm. and all that shit. So guys could, you could set like six guys inside a catapult in the bucket of it. And then you shoot them over the wall. And then they pop their parachutes and they just parachute down and then whip out their swords and start going to town.
Right over, just coming down slow. Mm. Imagine that visual of people have never seen anybody and they just come flying in on goddamn parachutes with knives, big ass swords, just landing. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
They would think you're gods, right? Because you're flying as far as they can tell. So what if, all right, that's the deal. Like, maybe... because we know people can time travel. We just never proven it. Yeah. So, like, if you travel back in time and you took a bunch of parachutes and you teamed up with I don't know, the Greeks or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you were like, okay, you need to take over the city. Let us pass out these parachutes to show you what we can do. Let's hop in the catapult. We don't need to build a Trojan horse to sneak in the city. We can just launch a bunch of people six at a time over the wall and you parachute down. They're going to think you're God, so they're going to be kneeling down praying anyway. And then you just start fucking chopping off heads.
That's it, dude. You got to even wear the suit like God. Like whatever their Bible, whatever their Jesus wore in that Bible, like whatever image was drawn in their the Old Testament then.
Yeah.
Or whatever Testament they had. That would have been nice. And then like, holy. And then everybody else, the one guy, the sergeant or the, you know, the commandant or the captain, he was dressed up as Jesus. But then everybody else that parachuted in like angels.
Nice.
And then somebody had a bullhorn that flew in and he said,
drop your swords,
you know, and then they fucking dropped them because they thought Jesus was on the horn.
Yeah. Who else can talk that loud but Jesus? They're like, of course he's Jesus.
Yeah. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's only. So when you're not going to, you know, so you can actually, that's a very diplomatic way of winning a battle back then.
Mm hmm. Skrull suits. What if you had Skrull suits back then?
Oh. And then you had like high ground, like in, you know, like in, and then you can just float down in.
You just jump off the side of this mountain and then you just freaking Skrull suit yourself right over the walls of the city and just freaking tumble land, bum, 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 jump up, start cutting people's heads off.
I wonder what level of military interaction we have going right now with the Skrull suits for the, you know, for those top guys like you, you know, me and you are, but we say we can't say that we are officially.
Right.
Those super black op dudes right now in high up government, you know, blacklisted, highly classified missions. Are they implementing the Skrull suit? Do you think?
I think have to be,
because that way it's strategically, you could stay off radar. But let's say that there's, you know, for some reason they can still pick up our radar, even though we're low, they pick us up on radar. Well, now we could be miles out farther and still get them to the same, you know, to the same rally point.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, if they're not doing that, I mean, they're wasting these Skrull suit technology, because you drop like, I don't know, 20, 30 Navy SEALs out of the back of a C-130 in Skrull suits.
Forget about it.
Swoop right into the middle of the night, silent but deadly. Come on. Oh,
they got the goggles on. The night vision all blacked out, bro, with the fucking X-4 on their back or something, you know, something nice. Maybe they're, you know, rolling a car 98, you know, we don't know. I'd personally roll the FARA, a little World War II action. It's one of my favorite pistols. I mean, one of my favorite assault rifles. But you never know. You know what I mean? You might just go with the old school MP5. You know, you can't go wrong with the Cold War MP5.
No, you can't. It's compact. It's got a high rate of cycle rate of fire, high rate of fire.
Nice magazine. You get a nice 80 round clip on there, not to mention low recoil.
You know what else I would do with the Skrull suit as I'm going over like the village or whatever? I'm just dropping grenades. I'm pulling grenades off my bandolier that I have wrapped around my body, just pulling them off, pulling pins and just dropping. Wreaking havoc.
What about some, which I love that idea, a little carpet bombing. What about somebody putting a dragon kind of like a kite above themselves as the squirrel in the squirrel suit. So if you look up and you could possibly, it would look like you see a dragon flying, but it's actually a guy in a squirrel suit, but a dragon kite on top of some sort.
Especially like back in the day where they believed in dragons.
Mm-hmm.
God, that would terrify people. You see a big dragon. They don't know if there's a dude on there like shooting explosive fire arrows. And they think it's a fire-breathing dragon. No, it's just me shooting explosive fire arrows.
Uh-huh. And then guess what happens? You conspire as the person who you as the person are working, you know, behind the scenes with this with the squirrel suit guy that's going to be the fake dragon, right? Obviously, we're trying to put together a clean false flag to make me move into power here. So I'm going to be the guy. I set it up. You're the dragon. You scare the whole goddamn town. I'm a hero. I quote unquote kill the dragon publicly.
Oh, yeah.
I am now the leader of the town. People look up to me. I am respected. And then that dragon never comes back, but he can completely change colors. And I can just be the one man fucking dragon slayer that runs
the dragon
city.
Slayer. All hell, the dragon slayer.
Yes.
No one's going to challenge you.
Now, there is going to be a moment and it's going to be a twist and turn in probably season two. But there's everybody else is going to start saying, well, I want to slay dragons, not just let this fucking guy do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your buddy's going to have to be really get shot at. And that's when we're having problems. And that's when the dragon sightings are going to have to cut back because you don't want your friend to die.
Right. You have to convince them that you killed all the dragons. There's none left. Like, oh, it's cool. You want to be a dragon slayer, but I already killed all the dragons.
Sorry. Get a Colt or MP5. Low recoil.
Let's go.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I don't understand what people don't get, man. I just don't get it.
We've been doing war all wrong. Ever since the medieval times. I mean we had so many good ideas right there that could have really changed the course of history.
And yet people just don't get it, dude. It's pissing me off, bro.
I don't know why we still don't have gladiators. I don't know why we still don't. Why did we stop having gladiator fights?
Something to do with it, the humanity of it. And
yeah.
Like, listen, if you want to fight to your death, fight to your death, bro. I think you should be able to sign right off on it. I don't think it's that far away, to be honest. I think it will be happening in another country at some point. So, you know, like these other countries, I mean, China probably been doing it. They just don't have it on their version of ESPN or whatever.
Yeah, it's a blood sport there.
You know?
So it's underground, Kumite. But that might be Japan. But I will say, like, used to, you would be a gladiator because you were a slave, right? And then if you survive long enough, you would get your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That was a motivation. So we don't really enslave people anymore. So I think it's going to be like you don't have to pay taxes anymore.
Oh, it's a clean $1 million purse. You know, it's like, listen, if you fucking decide we're going to have 5 bouts, $1 million purse out just in Bitcoin on a cold, undisconnected hard drive. So the government can't get at you and you can go find out, you know, you can take your winnings and move somewhere else or whatever with your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Now, 10 guys go to the death, fucking 5 to the death matches. That's going to be big time.
Big time. The pay-per-view is going to be huge.
I don't want to see people die, bro.
Right.
But I kind of do. You know, unfortunately.
I mean, if everybody's up for it, I mean, these are volunteers. They're not, you know, doing it against their will. And that's the only thing the show alone is missing is, you know, it should be more like the Hunger Games, I think.
Uh-huh.
Like if they were dropped off like that and then there's only one person left because you got to kill each other, then I'm talking that you talk about a show. It's not going to be History Channel can't afford that show anymore.
No. There's only so much fucking.
It's going to be a Netflix original.
You're going to have to drop some serious dough on it, and you're going to need that streamer cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a Netflix original in the making. And I think that the stakes go up, so then you're probably going to win more like $5 million. No, maybe 10. $10 million. Because if you can survive, if there's 10 of you, and you have to battle to the death.
Do the math.
Yeah.
Do that math. Give it to us.
So
hit us with the math.
$10 million. I mean, you can live the rest of your life on $10 million. You don't have to work anymore.
No.
So that's the goal.
You're gonna put at least $100,000 in the bank, get the rest cash. You know what I mean? and just roll dice and watch your money triple up. You know what I mean?
Dude, what a show that would be. I think I would take away their bow and arrows too. I would say you can keep your bow and arrows. You can hunt because you're going to need to eat. But if you shoot a person with you, you're disqualified.
I would literally mimic the fucking Roman gladiator games from Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
Single cover! Single cover! We'll survive whatever's coming out those gates if we stick together.
They did, too.
And the one guy that goes out in the middle.
You didn't stick to the plan, homie.
Buddy, stay in.
And that's why you're dead. Get together, put our shields up. It makes one big shield. That's what we learned.
I almost know that movie. I think there's a strong chance. I know, I'd say 85% verbatim the script of Gladiator.
Mm. How creepy was Joaquin Phoenix in that movie?
God, he's so fucking good, bro. He's the so best. Good, bro.
He might be the best actor going right now.
Commodus is not a moral man, Maximus. You know this. Isn't that why it must be you, Maximus?
He got fucked. He was supposed to be in charge of everything.
The king has been slain. That's like the only time he has that voice.
Yeah.
And then they fucking steal his sword.
God.
And then they lock him up.
Killed his family. What did his family do? God, they were just over there fucking managing their grapes. You have to go kill them.
And the way that Commodus told him the noises that his family made when they were dying was the most diabolical shit I've ever heard. Listen, there's plenty of storylines in the world of screen and art where it's a vengeance thing. The family gets killed. You know, this, the man, the dad, the father comes back for vengeance. One of my favorite ones of all time, the outlaw Josie Wales. Okay. Next up, Gladiator.
Mm.
But very often, I mean, not very often do you have the villain look in the eyes of the hero, the would-be hero at the end, by the end, and explain to him the sound of his child and wife being taken to the next world. And it's a fucked up thing. And talk about motivation, my man.
You know what I find interesting about the outlaw Josie Wales? Because I just watched it again the other day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I kind of can't believe they still show this movie. Because I've forgotten the South were portrayed as the good guys. The North were the bad guys. And I'm like, how do we still have this on Netflix? Like,
hey, fuck it, bro. Don't spit down my back. Hey, Senator, don't spit down my back and tell me it's raining. It's one of my favorite quotes in that movie, bro. I fucking love when the guy's trying to sell me elixir. Mm-hmm. And then he's got the all white suit on and fucking Josie Wales looks at him, takes a monster spit of chew.
Yeah.
Does it clean out stains after he spit it all over the guy's suit? Does it clean stains or some shit? Fucking beautiful.
I reckon so. That's his favorite saying. He says it about 40 times in that movie. Remember when he has to go slice his hand open and then shake hands, make a blood pact with that chief. And then he's like, now we are brothers. And he's like, spits and goes, I reckon so. It's like, oh my God, he's so fucking cool.
Oh man, that's just if you haven't seen that movie, please go watch it. The Outlaw Josie Wales is fucking phenomenal. I'll take 45 pounds of jerky. Just the way he orders and lives off of beef jerky is absolutely beautiful.
I love
it. Man. Hey, buddy. Had a fun episode here today, Todd. I'll see you tonight in Philadelphia at Helium Comedy Club.
Yeah, buddy. I'll let you know where I end up plopping down to stay tonight. Hopefully I can drive all the way through. If not, I'll stop maybe part way.
Sleep
for a bit and then continue the drive.
That's what I do. Just pop out for a few hours. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's three or four. I wake up, I get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, guys. We'll check you guys on Monday. We'll check you guys on Tuesday. Hey, go subscribe to YouTube. I think we definitely crossed 600, so we're on the back end of 1,000 right now.
There we go.
And Todd's and don't forget, guys, that Todd said he'd blow a muskox if we hit 1,000. So
once we hit 1,000, I'm gonna go to Canada and blow a muskox.
Let's go.
and I'm going to take that guy from Alone with me. All right, brother. Love you.
Love you, buddy. Later.